While you're doing so, that'll give me a minute to greet those that are just tuning in on YouTube. We so much appreciate you doing that and joining in the worship. Some of our folks are out. They always tune in and worship along with us so as not to miss anything. And I've got two buddies that are twins, Easton and Weston. And they watch our service every Sunday. They're two years old. And they are more faithful than I know a lot of adults are. They stand there. And they're learning correct English by listening to the preaching. Proper English does not take place in London. It takes place in Nacogdoches. So everybody knows that. So they're learning right. And now they have a new baby sister just arrived on the scene. So that household is growing. Good friends of ours in the Friday night Bible study in Houston. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Let me get verse 24 to get the whole sentence. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. One day, as a joke on my dad, one of my uncles got a cheap compass with a stick-on dial on it. And he pulled that sticker off of that compass, and that had the, you know, the 360 degrees north, east, south, and west. And he turned it 30 degrees to the northeast. And he pulled the needle off and glued the north going that direction. And he told my dad that the large content of iron ore underneath East Texas had affected the magnetic field 30 degrees. And that true north was when it came through East Texas from the South Pole, it diverted 30 degrees. Only my uncle would think up of something like that. Well, but my dad didn't say anything, which he was a lot like James. He didn't talk much because my mother was a lot like you. But I think it's something about East Texas. Dad said that my mother was vaccinated with a Victrola needle. Yes. So, but anyway, he didn't say anything, and he, y'all settle down. We're on YouTube. This is going out all over the world. Okay, so don't embarrass me. But he walked over to the gun rack and the shelf on the gun rack, and he got his compass. And he put both of them in his pocket, and he went out on the back porch, and he held the compasses in each hand. And he came back, and he threw the new compass at my uncle, and he said, "You and your compass are frauds." And he held up his compass, and he said, "This is true north. The needle points to the back second fence post and goes all the way to the community of Nash in West Texarkana." That got lost on a few folks. Okay, for those of you that don't know, the Sabine River is not the border all the way between Texas and the United States or Louisiana. So when the river bends back into Texas, there's a marker there, and it does say that was the border between the United States and Texas before it was a state. And then from that marker on the north shore of the Sabine River, when it makes the bend, goes right through State Line Avenue in Texarkana. Okay, and we're about 10 miles west of that state line. And so True North runs through 10 miles west of State Line Avenue in Texarkana, which is the Nash community. Okay, now you understand that. That's probably a whole lot more information than you needed. And if the first time you're here or the first time you're looking on YouTube, you go, what in the world did we get into? But hang on, there's a point to this. Dad, from a very young age, because I did, Gary, spend so much time in the woods, he taught me how to use a compass. And it didn't have to because the creek ran beside our house. It ran all the way to the river. So all I had to do was find that creek and I could find my way home. But if I was in woods that I wasn't familiar with, that compass. So you look at your compass when you go in, and then the opposite direction you go out on it. And so Dad had a story that he would tell me about a moral compass that we also have that's just as important. And so the devil and the new Bibles are frauds. Brandon, can you come pick up those papers? Because everybody be staring at those papers. All right. Thank you, sir. Turn around and wave. Yeah, sir, there you go. Now you have your moment of fame. But here's the two compasses. And the devil and this one are fraud. So that's what we are looking at in Romans chapter 1. And it begins in verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, if the gospel that's contained in the Word of God is the power that God uses to convert someone that's lost to salvation, you can better believe that it's going to be in the sights, in the target of the enemy. And we've been looking for some time at this fourth truth that we should not be ignorant of, that the Bible tells us that we should not be ignorant of, and that's the devices of Satan from 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. His devices are his plans, his schemes, his strategy, and then the way that he carries them out are with wiles, deceit, fraud, lies, subterfuge, confusion, and by counterfeiting them. And so the three primary targets that he has is salvation, the church, and the Bible. And he has, by counterfeiting those three things, he has created a great deal of confusion and misdirection, just like a needle that doesn't point true north. It doesn't give you the correct direction. So he said in verse 17, Romans 1, for therein, in the gospel, in that simplicity of the gospel that a child can understand, he said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just, the justified, those that are saved, shall live by faith. So we're saved by faith. We pass from death unto life as a result of faith in these words from God. And then we grow spiritually by faith in these words from God. And he explains in verse 18, because for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. That human conscience that tells us that there is a right and a wrong. So there is an inward conscience that says there is a God. An animal does not have a conscience. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 14 says, only a fool says that there is no God. Because just pure common sense can tell you that this didn't just accidentally take place. Because that when they knew God, not in salvation, but when they knew that truth, when they heard the truth, either through their conscience or through seeing the outward evidence of creation, or even more so by hearing the truth from God's word, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Then they began to create God in their minds. God who had created them, they denied. So instead, they invented their own God, made up his own rules and laws. So that is modern day idolatry. We don't bow down and worship trees and carvings and images. No, we bow down and worship what we imagine God to be. That's just like us. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things, or as someone says, Santa Claus, corruptible man, birds, the Thanksgiving turkey, four-footed beasts, the reindeer, creeping things, the Easter rabbit. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. Okay, they gave up the truth, they gave up God, now God gives them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, that which was created, more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up. Second time he said that, unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, which was prepared. Say, I don't understand why Christians don't accept the modern culture and all of the stuff going on. This is why. Because God said it's wrong. And God's word doesn't change. God's commandments doesn't change with community standards. This is points true north, all the way to the throne of God. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Third time God gave them over. Now to reprobation. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's like watching the news today, isn't it? Where we are. Because people have rejected God and rejected His truth and changed it into a lie and changed the church into something that was not created in the New Testament, has no resemblance to the church in the New Testament. Because salvation has been changed from by grace through faith into sacraments and rites and rituals and ceremonies and things you can do. It would appear that Satan is getting the upper hand, and it's easy to be discouraged. But go and read the last part of the book. God wins when we win. So that's important to keep that in mind and stop focusing on the culture and the sin of the culture and focus on the remedy to the sin of the culture, salvation in Jesus Christ, which we are responsible to carry to the world. And that includes our family and the people next door. So why all the confusion about all the translations? Well, if Satan cannot keep you from the Bible, from reading it, studying it, being discipled from it, he will change it and counterfeit it so that your faith will not function. Faith functions when it comes in contact with God's words. You cannot have faith in Christ without having faith in His words, because they're inseparable. And so faith operates only when it comes in contact with the words of God. So if they're not the words of God, our fallen intellect kicks in and operates. And that's why methodology in Christianity today is so important. Do step one, do step two, do step three, you will achieve the end goal. And so in the power of your flesh, in the power of your mind, you follow these methods, these programs to get to a pragmatic end, and a work of the flesh produces a result of the flesh that you can see that's visible. But the Lord said we're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So it's all about worship. It's all about serving God and growing spiritually. So if He cannot prevent salvation, He keeps you from enjoying the salvation and from that salvation growing to where it is effective where you are, where He has you stationed. He wants to keep you away from a true Bible-believing New Testament church. If He can't do that, He'll put you into a counterfeit. If He can't keep you away from the Bible, He puts you into a counterfeit. Now, one of the arguments that is used in the New Translation confusion is that the originals, those pieces of paper that the prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles of the New Testament penned down on paper, they're lost. They're not in existence. Well, of course they're not. They were written on papyrus, which is the equivalent of newspaper. And they're not preserved unless you put them under glass and under a controlled climate environment. Plus, God knows that had they been in existence, they would have been put under glass in Rome, and you'd get charged $50 to come and worship them. But God saw to it that he not only gave his word, but that he preserved his words pure and perfect and without error, so that his people would have the instructions on who God is, what he is like, and what his purpose and will is for what he has created. So if you can confuse that message, you confuse the people who it was intended for. So they're saying that this book has errors, has mistakes. So let's look at a few verses. If you'll look over to Matthew chapter 27, I want you to realize this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And it also took place in the Lord's day. And Matthew 27, after the crucifixion, Matthew 27, verse 62, says, "Now, the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said..." Now, who are they talking to about? Jesus. So the Jewish chief priests and Pharisees referred to Jesus as a deceiver. "That deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." See, they heard the truth, but they rejected it. He said, "Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered her and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Did you get that? Come see the place where the Lord lay. So, verse 63, they referred to Jesus as the deceiver because he said, "After 3 days I will rise again." In verse 6 of chapter 28, "After 3 days he rose again, just like he said." Jesus Christ is not a deceiver. He's God and he cannot lie. He is the faithful and true witness. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 21. "And as they did eat..." This is in the upper room. "Jesus, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Did that take place? Did one of them betray? So it happened just as he said. He told Peter before the before the cock, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Did that happen? Yep, just like he said. Look at chapter 20 of Matthew. Chapter 20 of Matthew, verse 18. He said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." Was that true? Did that take place? Did all of those things take place? Absolutely. Exactly as he said in words. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 44. Verse 43, he told these same Pharisees and chief priests, he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Why is it that you find it so difficult when you read the Bible to understand it? Why was it that Nicodemus said, 'How can these things be? I don't understand. I don't get it.'" Because the natural man, the lost man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Because the natural mind is enmity against God. Until salvation takes place and the Holy Spirit is entered into us, these are just words on a page. But when the author of these words gives us, opens our understanding, they become living words. They speak to us. They convict us. They challenge us. They encourage us. They reveal the truth about God and about His will and His purpose and about what's to take place. And it gives us a living hope that the world doesn't have. It gives us an understanding that the world is ignorant of, that we should not be ignorant of. It gives us the truth about Satan. And the worst thing that a liar fears is the truth, because it exposes the lie and the liar. He said, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" And oh, how that bristles the proud. But 1 Timothy 6, Timothy said, "They're proud, knowing nothing." There's no basis for the pride. They profess themselves to be wise and they're fools. And then he said in verse 44, he makes this statement, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Revelation 12, verse 9. Revelation 12, verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Satan is the deceiver. But the deceiver says, "Jesus is the deceiver, and I'm the truth." So we have a clear choice. Do we believe the deceiver, the liar? Or do we believe Jesus Christ and His words? They're unmistakably clear. John again, John chapter 10. I want you to see and hear the words. That's why I'm looking them up, so they'll give you time to look at them yourself. John 10, verse 35. He said, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. I want you to get that phrase. Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. And what do modern scholars, what do professors are saying is that the word of God was lost. It does not exist. And so all we have are reasonable translations. But because they're translations, they contain errors. They contain information that's not right. Not all of the manuscripts were available when they were translated. And now we're so much more smarter. And we know so much more linguistic. They know more about language than they did before. And so, in other words, they profess themselves to be wise when they're actually fools. But he said the scripture cannot be broken. Now, is he a deceiver? Absolutely not. So the scripture was not broken. So if the scripture was not broken, that means that there's an unbroken line of God's pure, inerrant, infallible, inspired words that his people, all through the church ages, all seven of them, could hear God's voice. Now, if the scripture was not broken, that also means the church was not broken. That true New Testament church that Jesus Christ started. Those characteristics that are in the New Testament, they have always been in existence all through the church ages. They will tell you that the line of churches was broken as well. But the Lord said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And they have not. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Is he a deceiver? No, he's not. So that means that his words did not pass away. His words were not, the scripture was not broken. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, Satan, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Chapter 3, verse 17, after he was baptized, he came up out of the water. See, I wonder how he got baptized. Kind of sounds like immersion. And if salvation saves you and removes sin, then what was Jesus doing getting baptized? Okay, just thought I'd throw that in. Won't cost anything extra. Lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God has already identified Jesus as his Son. And what does the devil say in verse 3 of chapter 4? If thou be the Son of God. He said, command that these stones be made bread. Prove it. What was the reply in verse 4? But he answered and said, it is written. The words of God were written down and Jesus quoted them. You see why he hates this Bible? It reveals the truth about him. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If that's how we're to live, then how couldn't we live if we don't have every word that proceeded from the mouth of God? The scriptures cannot be broken. His word shall not pass away, and we're to live by every word. Where do we find his words? In a book. Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Pure. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. John 14, 23. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. It's easy to tell God you love him. It's harder to get up on Sunday morning and show it. What we do here is supposed to be worship. Worship is loving somebody or something. Satan wants you to love something other than God. So he gives you a lot of choices. But I want to tell you something. Another person, a job, a career, wealth, health does not replace God. Now you can love all of those things and you can serve them and worship them. But I want to tell you something. When you need them the most at death, none of those things will deliver you to the other side into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of those things can provide you what only God can provide. So, proof of our love for God, our worship to God. God is love. That's one of his characteristics. What is God like? Well, one of the things that he's revealed is that he is the source of love. So if you do not know God, you do not know love, and you're incapable of loving. The only thing you love is self before you know God. But when you receive salvation, you receive his love. And now you're capable of loving. And the Lord says, love me, worship me. So you take the love that he's given and you give it back to him. That's worship. When you take that love that you've received from him and bestow it on another person, that's loving your neighbor as yourself. It's God's love. But if we don't have his words, how can we demonstrate our love to him? He said, if you love me, proof of it is that you keep my words. If we don't have his words, how can we prove our... You see the point. So what's being taught is that we don't have his words. But what did Jesus say? Who's the deceiver? Guys, it comes down to this. We're either hearing the voice of God or we're hearing the voice of the deceiver. These two are not the same. One more service, and I'll show you what this is about. I'll show you the difference between the two. So I dare you to come back. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Your faith has been nullified. Your effectiveness with the salvation God has given you has been nullified. And your spiritual growth in Christ's likeness has been nullified. God said, assemble yourselves together into a church family where you can be discipled, where you can be trained from this book. The third job of a church is to teach every commandment that Jesus Christ made, so that you would know Him more, know the truth about Him as He has revealed it to be true. Know His will, His overall, overarching will, where we're headed. And that will make sense as to what's going on, the insanity and the craziness going on around us. It makes perfect sense when you see it from God's perspective. Otherwise, you're going to be full of fear. I know there's some people afraid to get out of their house. They live in fear. God did not save us to live in fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Is that what God said? Then why live in fear? It's because you're not applying faith to what God said. You're listening to yourself, or you're listening to the deceiver, which is pretty much about the same. Listen to God's voice. It will... Jacob, it will put you on a solid foundation. Father, we thank you this morning that we do have your words. Lord, our faith functions and begins to operate when we come in contact with your words. It produces works. It produces a transformation in our mind and in our heart, and even the way that we live. But Lord, there's an enemy that is attempting to rob us of the truth and rob us of the joy of our salvation and the effectiveness of our salvation. Lord, I pray that through knowledge of your word, we would understand His devices, His schemes, what He's doing, His traps. Recognize them for what they are and then walk around them and continue to serve you and your will. Because, Lord, you've given us a job to do. And when we read in your word, we discover that Satan does not have enough power to undo your will, unless we disconnect from that power. And then we're no match. Lord, may we reconnect into your power that you've made available to us to live the life that you intended for us to live, that you saved us to live, a life of fellowship with you and your people, a life of peace and joy and a purpose, because we've tapped into your purpose and your will. Lord, may that be so of our folks here. Lord, we're here to express our love to you. And then, Lord, we walk out of this room to serve you and to obey these words of Scripture to prove that love and that worship is real and genuine and in spirit and in truth. Lord, continue to reveal the lies and the deception of Satan and his servants, or rather slaves. And Lord, I pray you would hedge us about as we do your will. Lord, I pray for our homes, our marriages. Lord, they're under attack as well. Lord, may we stay close to you. May we stay close to your word. And may we, as the old timer said, may we keep short accounts with you. Bless now this invitation as we invite people to come to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.